Hi, welcome to First Press Church Podcast. At the end of this message, please take a moment to subscribe to this podcast channel or our YouTube channel for the latest Sunday messages. We're so glad to have you be a part of our worship from afar. It is our prayer that this message will ignite a fire in your spirit for a closer walk with God.
Amen. Good morning, church. Man, it's good to be in here in the house of the Lord together. It's a surprise snowstorm out there. I had no idea that was coming. And I know a pretty good weatherman in town, too. But, wow, it's coming down. We're headed toward Christmas. As we get into our Christmas series, as we get started this morning, I do need to make a kind of a church announcement. Our dear pastor and friend, Reverend Dr. John Stevens, passed away yesterday afternoon, peacefully in hospice care. And if you don't know John, if you didn't know Dr. Stevens, he became an associate pastor here in 1968. In 1971, he was called to be the lead pastor here, and he served as lead pastor, senior pastor of First Presbyterian Church, 1971 to 2005, 34 years. And during that season, as a church, we experienced the greatest season of growth and influence for Christ that First Pres has known. So we're just asking, I'd ask you to just be in prayers for the family and giving thanks for the faithfulness of this man and all that Jesus did through him, and pray for his wife, Gail, and his children and family at this time. We are turning to the songs of Christmas. Would you open your Bibles to Luke chapter 1? I'm going to read to you verses 46 to 55. And as we open the scriptures, let's open our hearts in prayer. Lord, a moment like this can run by us. The very power of the words of the Bible can run by us without us even noticing the impact. So we ask for your mercy. Be merciful to us as we gather. Send your Holy Spirit into this place and this time so that as we receive your living word, we hear your voice. And hearing, believe, and believing, live. In Jesus' name we pray, and the church said, amen. Amen. Luke 1, 46 to 55. And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We call that sometimes Mary's song. Mary's song. Is anybody else in the room having a hard time these days figuring out what's true? Is that a little bit of a chore these days? Does it feel like we're living in a world of spin? We used to talk about the spin zone or the spin room, where you'd expect that there's going to be experts there that are going to kind of throw a shiny veneer on the facts to spin whatever they're talking about to the benefit of the person that they're advocating for. But now it just feels like there's no spin. It's like a spin world. Everything is spinning. All we get is spin. There's nothing but spin. And it's hard to figure out the truth. And we need to know the truth, because these are the important things that we're talking about, the economy and politics and our future and war, life and death. We need to find the truth. How do you find it? I personally get my daily news from a podcast called The World and Everything in It. I encourage you to look it up, check it out. What they say is we're offering you biblically objective reporting. Biblically objective reporting, which I love. But you talk to somebody who's not a Christian or anybody out there in the world, biblically objective doesn't fit together for them. That's an oxymoron. And so how do we relate? What is up? How can we find the truth? How can we find a truth to agree on? Sometimes all we need is one point, one north star to help us out. I love this picture. This is a time lapse of the sky, the night sky, and the stars moving along. And you know what's sitting right in the middle there? North Star. It doesn't move. And sometimes you just need that one, that North Star, that point that you can navigate from, just one point that you can geolocate and figure out where am I, where am I going, just to keep you sane. Mary was a young woman living in a world of spin. She was. This is a world just like ours. There were people spinning the truth all around her. The government, you know, she was, her land where she lived had been conquered by more tyrants and dictators than an armchair historian could write on their arm. Rome was just the most recent one. So you could forgive Mary for being a little cynical about believing that maybe politics is going to make a difference. Her own people were not unified. They were divided into four different ideologies, and you've heard of some of these. The first one was the Pharisees. You've heard of the Pharisees? And what they believed was that they wanted to force God's hand through behavior. They said, if we would just all concentrate and apply ourselves to doing everything that is written among God's rules, then God would have to respond to our prayers. He would have to kick Rome out. We just have to do every single thing that he said to do. That's what the Pharisees believed. On the other hand were the Sadducees. Now, the Sadducees, they considered themselves realists. They said, let's come to terms with the power of our oppressor, our government that occupies our land, and let's find comfort through cooperation. And so they cooperated with Rome, and along the way, they started to compromise their religious principles. They stopped believing in a God who intervenes and changes things, or in a Messiah who would come and cast out the oppressors, or in a bodily resurrection to eternal life. The Sadducees. There is a third group known as the Zealots. What did the Zealots believe? The Zealots wanted to turn the wheel of revolution through blood and blade. They said, look, we've got to fight. God's not going to do anything until we stand up and fight. But if you stand up and fight, God will fight with us. There is a fourth group out there that we don't talk as much about. They were called the Essenes, E-S-S-E-N-E, the Essenes. This was more of a spiritual group, and they withdrew from society to pursue personal holiness. They said, I've got to get out of the world so I can get to a place where I can just pursue personal holiness with the Lord. So they withdrew. Think John the Baptist with fewer locusts to eat on the table. But they withdrew. Withdrawal is its own kind of temptation. You know that? The more you withdraw, if you continually withdraw from anyone with whom you may disagree in the slightest, you withdraw, withdraw, withdraw. You know what happens? Eventually, you're in a very small room by yourself because you know there's only one person in the world who totally agrees with you, and it's you. Withdrawal is its own kind of temptation. All of these parties, they all had their claim on the truth. They were all spinning things, saying, this is the way it is. This is the way it will always be. This is what we've got to do. And Mary was growing up in that world. And then something happened. An angel came. A representative of God came and interrupted her life in Nazareth into a world of spin. You can imagine it kind of like a chessboard, like a chessboard where all the pieces are on that same level and they're all just pushing on each other to try to find victory, try to find space. And into that world of spin, into that chessboard where all the pieces are set, enters in something from another dimension, another intersection. It's not just about these intersections. There's an intersection from above, a vertical intersection. God enters in. God gets in the game. And when you're just spending your time just thinking on this level all the time, it's like I almost forgot God. And God gets in the game. And God gets involved. And God makes a difference. It's kind of like in the Marvel movies when Thor comes crashing down in from space and he hits the ground like, you know what I'm talking about? Anybody with me? Like, boom, that's going to make a difference. That's going to make a difference. But this isn't fantasy. This isn't ideas. This isn't spin. Mary knows this is real. It's as real as the child that is growing in her womb when she has never known a man. Mary, you can imagine what kind of an impact this had on her life. Imagine the stress, imagine the anxiety, imagine the worry, imagine all of the lost futures that she had in mind. I mean, be honest, put yourself in Mary's shoes. What would you be writing in your journal that night? Right? Lord, why me? So she goes and she finds some comfort in a friend, a relative named Elizabeth. But Mary, you see, Mary, she's given a gift of faith and she exercises that gift. She believes. Mary makes a choice. She chooses joy. She chooses praise. She chooses song. Mary's song. This season, what we're going to do as we go toward Easter, we're going to talk about all these songs of Scripture, these songs that erupt around the birth of Jesus. There's all these songs that just sort of emerge out of Scripture because this is a time of song, and we need to be, as Christians, we need to be responding in song to Jesus coming into the world and being born on Christmas Day. So we say, sing we now of Christmas. That's what we're going to talk about. Sing we now of Christmas, because we need to sing these songs of the coming of Jesus. This is a season of songs. I mean, the music changes out there. The songs change. Everybody changes their soundtrack. They change their playlist. Have you downloaded your Christmas playlist yet to your phone or your Spotify or whatever it is that you're using? When we change all of our songs now, and you hear different songs. And a lot of these songs are terrible. Wouldn't you agree? And you hear it again and you're like, oh, I haven't heard that for a year and I hoped that it had fallen off the list. Why are we playing that song again? But all of these songs, even the terrible songs, even the goofy songs, they're there because Jesus came to this world. Do you know that? And so we as Christians, we need to be the ones who are lifting up these songs, who are singing these songs, who are singing the songs of the birth of Jesus. Mary's song, sometimes called the Magnificat from the Latin translation of what she says, my soul magnifies the Lord. Or as we have it in our scriptures, Luke 1, 46 to 47. Listen, I want this to be your memory verse this week. We need to memorize scripture. We'll talk about that a little later. I want you to memorize this. Try to commit this to memories. Let's say it together. Luke 1, 46 and 47. And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. This is a song that erupts. It's this moment of exaltation where the lyrics just flow and the words just pour out of Mary, and her heart overflows with a joyful song. And what does she sing? What does she say? She says, my soul magnifies the Lord. My soul glorifies the Lord. What you dwell on, you magnify. Whatever you dwell on, whatever you center on, it grows in your life. It becomes everything to you. If you dwell on your problems, they become bigger. If you dwell on your challenges, if you dwell on your resentments, they just grow. They grow in your life. They become bigger in your life. Mary says, I want to magnify, I want to dwell on the Lord. Whatever you draw closer to gets bigger in your sight. Like you get closer to something, it starts to fill up the whole view in front of you. Mary says, I want to get closer to the Lord. I want to magnify the Lord. My soul sings, she says, and my spirit rejoices, verse 47, my spirit rejoices in God my, what's that word?
Savior.
My Savior. My Savior. Mary has a Savior in whom her spirit rejoices. Listen, if you've carried along a view of Mary that she's perfect or sinless, just remember this fact. Only sinners need a Savior. Mary has a Savior in Jesus Christ in whom her soul rejoices. Verse 48, for he has been mindful and humble of the state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. What is she doing? Instead of dwelling on her problems, instead of focusing on her challenges, instead of being overcome by the inconvenience of this child that's growing in her womb, instead of getting wrapped up in that and spiraling into self-pity, what does she do? She's able to see her life, her story, as part of God's story. She's able to gain a perspective that is long-term, a God's eye view. And she says, you know what? God is great. He is great. He is holy. His story is what matters. My story, it doesn't have to be perfect. See the freedom in that? Mary's song is based on Hannah's song. If you go back to 1 Samuel chapter 2, there's a woman named Hannah who couldn't have a child. And so she prayed to the Lord and she became miraculously pregnant. Just like Mary has found herself miraculously pregnant. And Hannah dedicated her son to the service of the Lord forever, a son that she named Samuel. Mary thinks about that. Mary finds that. What is she doing? In this moment of crisis where she's trying to figure out her life, she's trying to understand, why is this happening to my story? What is going on in my life? What does Mary do? She leans back on the word of God. She finds herself wrapped up in scripture. She says, this is kind of like Hannah. Let me go back. Let me find that. Let me rest on that. And it's the scripture that comes out of her. It's the scripture that pours out of her lips, you see. When she's under pressure, it's the scripture that kind of oozes out at the seams. Why? She doesn't have a Bible like you and I have, but what has she done? She has heard and she has memorized the word of God. So that when things get rough in her life, the word of God is there and it just spills out of her lips. Not just Hannah's song. If you go and study this, there's like 12 different citations of scripture that just pour out of Mary as she sings in the situation that she's in. May it be so for you and for me. Amen? We need the word of God in there. You need the word of God, some scripture in your life. You need to memorize scripture so that when the pressure comes, you can rest on the word of God. You can feel his story coming through your story. Overflowing and joyful song. But what does she sing about? What is this song about? Well, this is a rebel song. Do you see it? This is a song for world changers. This is a song for people who aren't just gonna play along with the game as it sits. It's a rebel song. It's a song of revolution. What does she say? The theme of Mary's song is this. In a world full of spin where everybody claims the upper hand, my God is able. My God is on the move. My God can change things. My God is able to turn this world upside down. God is able to stop evil and bring about good. My God is able to see the unseen, to bless the disregarded. My God is able to redeem the enslaved, to topple kings and governments and systems and bring righteousness and justice and peace and goodness and truth. My God is able. The chess pieces are not all set. We're not trapped in. God is entering the game, and he is able to make a change. That's what Mary sings. Do you see how that's revolutionary? Look at this. The spin of the world says the church ends with this generation. What does Mary sing? Verse 50. Why don't you say this with me? His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. Oh, I thought you said the church was going to end with us. This is it, you know? No, God is able. And there is no one who is outside of the range of his mercy, any generation, to come home to him. the spin of the world says might makes right. Power goes to those who shout the loudest. The only way to win is to be the most arrogant, most boastful, most aggressive. What does Mary sing? Mary sings, "He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts." The spin says we're living in a closed system of power and influence, and the only way to turn the wheels of revolution is to put the blade to the throat of the oppressor, to kill man, woman, child, to grease the wheels with blood until the oppressor falls and the oppressed has the opportunity to take the spoils. That's what the world says. What does Mary sing? He brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. Do you see, that's a different song. The spin of the world says it's all about money. Either you have it or you want it, so go get it before someone else takes it. What does Mary sing? For he has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. This is a revolutionary song. This is a rebel song. The game is not predetermined. The places on the board are not all set. You cannot determine how it's all going to turn out. Why? Because God is involved, and God is able to change things. God is able to make a difference. God is in the game now. And he sets up kings and he topples kings. And he turns poverty into prosperity and prosperity into poverty. And he stops evil in its tracks and he brings what is good. And he takes down the proud and he lifts up the humble. Our God is involved. Our God is able to turn the world upside down. That's Mary's song. What's yours? As you enter into Christmas and the coming of Jesus and you celebrate his birth, how closed is your system? Do you believe that God can intervene? Do you believe that God can make a change? He hasn't given up on it yet. Look at these final verses, 54. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. Up till now, God has not forgotten. He has not forgotten to move. God is still at work. He is still in the game. He is still at work in this world. In a world that says everything is locked up, shut up, the chessboard is set with all the pieces settled, and the end of the game is locked in tight. No, God enters in from above, and he can change. He can change. Sing a rebel song. Try on a revolutionary song. Don't get closed. Don't get locked in tight. Sing a song with Mary of a God who is able. In just a moment, we're going to come to this table and we're going to eat a meal that I'm telling you is a rebel's meal. This is rebel food. This is revolution bread. Why? Because we hold up this bread and we say to the world, no. Our provision does not depend on your systems. We have a God in heaven who provides for us. There is a God in heaven who feeds and takes care of us. Our provision comes from him. We have bread you know not of. The bread of life is on this table. And then we lift this cup and we say to this world and all of its claims, no, we do not use blood the way you use blood. Blood is not a means to power. The most powerful one, the mighty God, the almighty God, he stepped down into this world and he took on flesh and blood in the womb of a girl named Mary. And when he grew up. When he started his ministry, he showed us the ways of the kingdom of God. And in the fullness of time, he carried his own body, his own blood to the cross, and he poured it out, a sacrifice to cover all of our sins. We don't use blood the way you use blood. The blood of Christ has been poured out for us, and that means there's forgiveness, there is reconciliation, there is new life, for Christ has died and Christ is risen, and now Christ has all the power. Amen? Amen. Sing a song of Mary. Sing a rebel song. Sing a song of revolution. This is the meal. This is the table that resets the spin. This is the table that sets our eyes on the North Star. This is the table that points us to Jesus Christ once again. Sing a rebel song. I want to pray with you because I believe in this room there are those who have not opened their heart to Jesus Christ, who have not said a word to the Lord. And I want you to know he's here. And you can begin a new song with him today. This is a time and a place where you can begin a new life with Christ. And so I want to invite you to pray along with me and to make this your own prayer. In fact, I would invite all of you to pray along the simple prayer. Follow with me in prayer if you would. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, I have been singing the wrong songs. You came and died for me so I could be forgiven. You opened the heavens for me. Teach me to sing a new song today. Give me faith to follow you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Once again, we want to thank you for listening to this message. And if you live in the Colorado Springs area, we'd love to have you here on Sunday mornings. To find us online, just search First Pres Colorado Springs.